Have you ever been to a Weekend Remember before?
Yes, I've been to one.
I know. I've been to hundreds. I'm talking to our listeners.
I know you are.
Because here's great news. You're going to find a fresh experience this year. New speakers, a revamped guidebook, and everything thoughtfully curated for deeper growth together.
I tell you, it's the perfect opportunity to come back. And now, through September 15th, every event is on sale. In fact, it's the best price you're ever going to get through September 15th. So find a date and location that fits you at familylifetoday.com.
The fact that we get to spend after we die with God is incredible. It's part of the gospel. Jesus talked about the gospel being the kingdom is now available to you. It's now open for business. It's here. That's the good news. You can step into this way of life now, and there's a cost to it, but the cost of not doing it is higher.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. All right, are you excited? We got Brant Hansen back in the studio.
It is always a good day when Brant is here.
Yeah. Oh, you guys.
So as we were having lunch today, Brant, you were talking to us about how you were invited to speak to a men's breakfast.
Yeah, so I am really amped about this.
The men's breakfast?
Breakfast.
Dinner, lunch?
I'm always amped, but no, they asked me to come speak at a businessman's breakfast.
Okay.
And they asked me to share the gospel. And they said, we've got a lot of guys that are professionals, but they'll bring friends to this thing once a year. And this was in New Jersey. And they wanted if I'd come up and speak. I'm like, well, sure.
So it's like an outreach they do once a year to invite a lot of people to.
Not CBMC.
Yes.
Yeah, CBMC. I've done some of those.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really nice of them to ask. My stress was, I'm not sure I'll do it right. Because honestly, when we talk about the gospel, a lot of times people have their own idea about what that is. Mm. And I don't know that we always understand how big it is and how wonderful it is. The other thing is you can ask people to say, pray a prayer, and then, hey, you get to go to heaven when you die. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. Because I think we're missing out on something, and that is connecting to Jesus as our teacher. If it's just about I go to heaven when I die, I'm missing out on something.
On that relationship piece.
Yes, which I'm convinced is a better way to live. We don't talk about that. So I was kind of wondering, I was like, is it okay if I do it this way? They're like, okay, sure.
So how did you start it? Like, what did it sound like?
I told them this is the best deal you're ever going to hear. And it's like a pearl merchant recognizing something so great that you're willing to cash it all in for this. And I said, I think you don't have to do anything. Like, God gives you free will. Like, you can decide, you can walk away. People walked away from Jesus.
So there's no pressure.
No pressure at all. There was no emotional appeal. There's no music. There was no fog lights or whatever. There's no lasers. But it was just me laying out. Here's why the way of Jesus is actually better than not the way. And I think this is really important for people to communicate because it is. And you just have to lay out why.
So, Brant, as you're talking about this, and I can't wait to hear where you're going, but I'm just thinking of how we talk to our kids about this.
Yes.
It's not like, hey, just pray this prayer. You're saying, no, it's way better than that.
It's way better. So the fact that we get to spend after we die with God is incredible. It's part of the gospel. Jesus talked about the gospel being the kingdom is now available to you. It's now open for business. It's here. That's the good news. You can step into this way of life now, and there's a cost to it. But here's what I was telling these guys. The cost of not doing it is higher. So, yeah, there's a cost, but the cost of not doing it is higher. And I just went down the list.
Tell us the list.
Well, let's talk about fear of death. I'm not afraid of death because of who Jesus is and my following him and learning his ways. Like, I don't have to deal with that. Can you imagine living life where you're not afraid?
I mean, I'm sitting there. You guys know this because, Dave, you did the same thing with 500 men. Is that a thing that we fear death?
Oh, everybody does.
Yeah,
aging, I think so. Death. Universal.
Yeah. It's women, too, for sure.
The most manly, courageous, stud dog man is afraid of death.
The most, the like biggest stud dog man of all. I mean, you're right. So it's funny to me because you can talk about this being freed from it. Our whole culture is afraid of death.
Yeah.
We can't even talk about it.
Mm. And we don't.
We're afraid. But how about not being afraid? Like, I'm not afraid.
I mean, you had other ones, and that's all I need right there. I'm in.
Well, you would think, right?
So, yeah.
Like, well, so you said, I'm not afraid.
Yeah. I'm like, it's not because I'm a superhero. I'm obviously not, like, at all. Mm. Most of the guys in this room could beat me up. It's fine. Like, but imagine living a life where you're not, and this is like shifting into another problem. Our whole culture does not know how to handle anxiety. Mm. And we're sick with anxiety. Imagine being the non-anxious presence in your neighborhood, in your home. Mm. Where you're no longer nervous about anything.
It's funny, Brandt, that you say that because, I mean, just a few weeks ago, I'm on a table having this stent put in. And I remember right before the doctor's like, okay, you ready? And I said, yeah. And Lord, will you bless his hands and what he's about to do? And as I was on the table, I thought, well, either God, you have more for me here. But if not,
okay,
it's even better. And so there's no loss. It's kind of Paul's words, to live is Christ, to die is gain.
It's win-win.
It's that.
And it's surely your goodness and love will follow me all the
all
days,
the days
of my life.
My life.
I wish I could say I was out in the waiting room praying the same thing. I wasn't praying that.
Well,
like, I don't want you to go.
I didn't either, but I also know I don't have any control of that.
Yeah, well, neither did I.
You can become, here's the thing, like, we're all humans, but we do become less anxious people by following Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And learning how relaxed he is, like, in how he responds to things. And he said he came to bring us a rich and satisfying life. Like, that's a quote from John 10:10.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't start after you die. Mm. It's now. But we actually have to learn his ways, like how to bless your enemies. So it's not just anxiety. How would you like to not be angry?
Mm. Mm. Well, I'm just imagining. So you've hit death.
I'm making a list right here.
Really, right?
Yeah.
So these are things our culture has no way of handling. And Jesus is, he's a genius. Like, guys, he's the smartest man who ever lived. And I use this example all the time. I mentioned it with you before too, but like, there are endocrinologists that tell us that anxiety and anger kill us.
Mm-hmm.
It has such a deleterious effect on our physiognomy. Like, and here's Jesus 2,000 years ago modeling how we can live without it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he loves us, but it ages us. It makes us put on weight. It costs us in terms of our heart. Like, there's all of these problems that come from our not knowing what to do with anxiety or anger. But we're not equipped for this. Jesus gives us a way to do it.
What do you think in our culture, people that have anxiety and are angry and or, how are we coping with those without Christ?
We're not. That's just it, like all the suggestions.
Escape.
And numb out.
Yeah.
You name it.
Sure. We
but it's hiding in. It's hiding into something because we can't deal with it, you're saying.
Yes. Our culture is bankrupt on this.
Yeah.
And so if you read, and I've read a lot, it could be New York Times, The Atlantic, or whatever, they'll talk about our culture, epidemic of anxiety, epidemic of anger.
Yeah.
What do? Well, you count to 10, you listen to some music, you
meditate.
It doesn't work. And people are seething with anger. And it's ruining people's homes.
Mm.
Jesus is talking about blessing those who curse you. He's talking about forgiving people out of gratitude that we have for being forgiven and what that looks like. In the Sermon on the Mount, he starts with anger when he's talking about how to live.
Mm.
It is the most fundamental human problem.
So
he's giving us a way out of it.
So I'm thinking about the people listening right now. They're like, no, you don't understand. I'm dealing with that right now. And I do have Jesus and I am angry too. So how do I apply that eternity right now? Like, what's that look like? How can I get out of that?
Well, if I'm trusting God with his justice, I have to hand that over to him. That is a very real thing. Like, I am not here to mete out all of justice in this world. The other thing is, it really is going to kill you. It does not help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're going to live with this, the point is anger happens. It's like a warning light on a dashboard. But we're told to get rid of it before the sun goes down.
Yeah.
So it's not a sin in and of itself, but thinking we're entitled to it is a sin because it'll destroy us and God actually loves us. So this is a way to freedom. So if you're like, well, I can't just let this go, well, then you're going to be carrying it with you the rest of your life. So this is what I'm telling these guys too. Like, look, it's hard to forgive people. But it's way harder to live a life of bitterness.
You're saying literally it'll kill you.
It'll kill you. Wow. And you have to carry that around. And it torpedoes your family. It torpedoes your relationships. Mm. Like, you're not living at peace. You don't have peace in your home because you think you're entitled to carry this thing around. Jesus is saying, don't do that. His way is smarter. And again, it's a better way to live.
Yeah.
He's a genius in every field. He knows. So when he's telling us to be like the birds of the air, well, animals don't carry anger around with them. They have a fight or flight response, but it's over quickly. Like, they're not borrowing trouble that could happen next month. Mm. Again, everything Jesus is telling us is a genius way to live that's actually lighter and better. I'm like, guys, imagine laughing more, not being afraid, not being as threatened by people. And how about this? How about not being ashamed?
Ooh, you're hitting all these biggies.
Right?
Yeah. All of us are dealing with
I'm
all
right
of
down
this.
Everything you're saying.
Right. Well, how about that? Like, is this a better way of life or not?
Yeah.
We're all going to carry around shame. Look what God does with Adam. I use Adam as an example when I wrote about this in The Men We Need, but he blows it. He's responsible for mass destruction. And when he blows it, God comes looking for him and says, where'd you go? What happened to us? We used to walk together. Mm. And then he clothes Adam, and the clothes he puts on Adam and Eve are royal garments. The word is kahonas. Mm-hmm. So it's not just primitive furs that he's putting on. Like, these are royal robes. Like, do you know that God still wants to cover you? Mm. And that's what I'm saying to guys. Like, he still wants to walk with you. He wants to partner with you in your business. Do you know that? It's a great partner to have.
And no matter what you've done. Like, no matter what. You're right. Adam's sin cost all of us.
Right.
All of us are experiencing the consequences.
Yes.
And yet God continued to pursue him. Told him, come out of hiding. I'm here.
I'm here. I want to walk with you.
Yeah.
You don't have to. He's not going to force you to love him. That's the big experiment, isn't it? It's like, that's the thing in Job where the enemy is like, yeah, you have to force these people to love you, or they have to give them so much. But like, will we freely love him? Mm. And my answer is yeah. Mm. And as I've studied Jesus' way of living, not living in shame anymore, even though I am a sinner, but he still wants to clothe you with royal garments. That's what he thinks of you. Like, this is a better way to live, guys.
It's the gospel, and it doesn't even make sense.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good. And Jesus said, if you understand it, you're going to go, I want that.
Mm. Yeah.
I want that. But rarely in church culture, I've noticed, and I'm in Christian radio too, rarely in Christian radio, like, do we really unpack what the gospel of the kingdom actually is? The good news is here. I have good news.
Yeah.
Look at all the good stuff. This isn't bad news. And just like we were talking about Psalm 23. Mm. The rest of your life, you get to grow in this. Mm. You get to become a rock for your family. You're a beacon of peace in your family. You have peace in your home. You're not threatened by other guys like you used to be. Mm. You're not worried about tomorrow. Imagine that. And then when you die, you're stepping into the kingdom in its fullness.
I'm guessing 500 guys gave their life to Jesus.
Well, honestly,
that day.
Like, there were hundreds of guys that were believers. I think there are probably 150 guys that weren't. I think they told me that. So they have these response cards afterward.
Yeah. Right, right.
But they had 90 guys say, for the first time in their lives, yeah, I want this. Yeah.
Come on.
And so what they do so well is they meet each week in small groups, but they disciple people. Like, so what the gospel as I'm explaining it, matches up to discipleship.
Yes.
It doesn't leave you hanging like, okay, I said the thing, now I go to heaven when I die. Like, what? Now what?
Now you get to learn the relationship piece.
Right, he's my rabbi.
Yeah.
He's my teacher.
I'm going to follow him.
Yeah, I'm going to follow. Jesus is looking for followers.
What do you guys think that means, to follow Jesus? What's that look like, practically speaking?
I think it's the stuff we're talking about.
Me too.
You actually take what he says seriously. He even said to his disciples, go out and make other disciples, teaching them to obey the things I have commanded you to do.
And why does he say to obey? Because he loves them.
Yeah.
And because he doesn't want them to experience the pain that comes from the consequences of our sin.
True. And that'll be like teaching them to obey what I've said. So he did say things about how to live.
Right.
And they're very practical. But unfortunately, I feel like churches could, if they wanted, put a sign up that says, hey, Tuesday night at 7, we're going to teach you how to follow Jesus. Mm. And it could be, here's how to bless your enemies. How to bless people in traffic who are cursing you. And this is so practical and so doable, and it changes your heart. So I've joked with you guys about this before, like traffic is forgiveness practice. Like, but the practice, as you know, in your athletic background, and you, both of you, like you can do things that you couldn't do before because you trained.
Yeah.
So following Jesus is the same thing. At first you're like, I can't pray for blessings on some guy who just cut me off. You can. And when you do, and you make it a habit, it'll become second nature. You won't even react in the moment. You won't be throwing a fit like you used to, because now you're different. Why? You're learning the rhythm of life with Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's your rabbi. You take your cues from him. How does he act? Okay, so I do want to bless people who curse me. I do want to forgive people because I've been forgiven. All right, I do want to pray for those who are out to get me. Like, this is a doable way of life. And it turns out Jesus knows what he's talking about. It's the best way of life that is available.
Yes.
Now, do you want it?
So often we think of following Jesus as do nots.
Right.
So often that's where the church has started. Do not curse. Do not have sex outside. Do not, which are all good things. You shouldn't, but we don't talk about what you just presented to those men. Who doesn't want that?
Who doesn't want it? And why can't we present it that way?
Yeah.
And it's true.
And if you follow them, the do nots will happen.
Oh, yeah. And
look, those desires are going to fall away.
The Pharisees were doing that way of life of do not do this, do not do that. And Jesus is like, look, clean the inside of the cup.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It gets easier when you become a different person. You become the type of person who now responds differently in the moment because you've been doing this stuff. And it becomes more second nature. So it's easier to do it. At first, you can't just speak German. Like, I'm going to speak German now. I'm like, I can't do that. But I could become that person if I trained under a teacher.
Yeah.
Right? So it's the same thing. As I learn the ways of Jesus, I put it into practice. You become a different person. And I told the guys, this is an easier way to live. And that in a lot of church culture, they're like, you can't say that. Like, it's harder. It's not. Jesus said it's easier.
Yeah. My yoke is easy.
It's lighter.
Yeah.
He said so. Now, you do have to deny yourself, but it turns out that that leads to a more easy way of life.
It's more freedom.
More freedom. So when somebody hits you, you're so free that they don't determine your next move. Like the natural human reaction is you hit back.
Yeah.
But in the kingdom way of life, it's not my natural reaction anymore. You don't dictate my next move.
So good.
It's so good. This is a better way of living.
I'm just sitting here, like, I'm thinking about myself as a parent with kids when they were growing up, like teenagers, as I'm talking about the gospel and scripture and all of that. I'm thinking, man, I think maybe I'd present it in that way now. Because I think before we're so focused on, do you know Jesus? Did you say the prayer? Instead of saying, are you following him? And do you know how good it is to follow him?
Yeah.
Those things. I mean, how did you present that? You and Carolyn with the kids.
Well, I'm learning as I go.
Aren't we all?
Yeah,
I would
be
so much better now.
But you know what's cool is, as you're listening too, if you're like, well, I've never really thought about it this way. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
We're still learning, aren't we?
Right. Always.
Well, wait, if we're disciples, we're always in learner mode.
Always. Right.
That's what it means.
That's not going to end. But the hard thing about this is if we're not teaching this to people, we're not teaching them to follow Jesus practically. We're actually making their lives harder.
What do you mean?
Well, we can be like, I want to make things convenient and cool. Like, hey, don't stress out about it. Just say the prayer, go to heaven. You're not teaching them this way of life that's actually easier.
Yeah.
So now they're stuck in these patterns and things. You haven't taught them.
It's like getting in a car and you don't know how to drive. Like, hey, good luck.
Yeah.
And they're crashing all over the place.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
When Jesus talks about the narrow way and the wide way, he doesn't say the wide way is actually easy. Now, there's a couple translations that throw that word in there, but it's not in the Greek. Mm. It's just narrow and wide. And he actually says the wide way leads to destruction, which does not sound easy to me. He also tells us how to live, and he wraps up the Sermon on the Mount with, there's a guy who builds his house on the sand, guy who builds his house on the rock. Well, it's hard to build a house. But who's got it easy now after the storm?
Yeah.
Like, this is not the hardest way to live. This is a freeing way to live, but it's a narrow way. Most people will choose anything but Jesus. Mm. But the people who do find that door, they find that, wait, this is actually a lighter, easier yoke in life. Instead of worshiping somebody else, I will learn from him. Again, he's a genius. He knows how to live. He made us.
So the person that's saying, like, I want that. Like, I want to be discipled. I want to follow Jesus. I'm just going to church on Sundays, you guys. What does it look like to follow him? How do I do that?
I hope they have relationships with people who are being discipled, or that the church is discipling people. We tend to think of disciples as somebody's like, oh, you're getting really extreme with the whole Christian thing. That's not it at all. There's only one thing, and that is being a disciple or not.
It's a learner.
Yeah. So I think that explains a lot of hypocrisy that we see, because people never stepped into this way of life. Yeah. And if they did, they wouldn't want to step out of it. So my challenge, I guess, would be, for just my perspective, like, I hope more of us believers begin to understand things this way.
Me too.
And then it's easy to talk to people about this and then go, hey, are you interested in it? And then we can study Jesus stuff together. And we can talk practically about how we can bless people who don't like us, or pray for people who hate us, and let's live this out.
Yeah, I'm guessing you got invited to come back and do that again.
I hope so. Yeah, they liked it. But I love talking about this stuff, because I think it's so important, and it's something we've been missing as a culture. Not everybody, but it'd be nice to see this, like, catch fire.
Yeah, I mean, your thoughts, Brent, that's why we love you, are so fresh.
Oh, thanks.
They come from a different angle that many people aren't thinking. I got to be honest, you know, I speak quite a bit at men's events, and I steal Brent Hansen stuff every time. I give you credit every time. Let me tell you, my friend Brent Hansen says, you know, the keeper of the garden, the whole thing. And I'm not kidding.
It's so good.
Everywhere I go, people are like, this is really fresh. I'm like, yeah, get the book.
Cool. Thank you.
You know, and if our listeners haven't read The Men We Need, which isn't what we're really talking about today.
Well, this sounds like it's going to be a new book.
I'm just going to tell you, it's in our show notes. It's go to familylifetoday.com, show notes. There's a link there. You can go get the book.
And when you have this new book, have you started this? This is a whole new book.
I have. I just started it, yeah.
So we'll have you back on.
Does it have a title?
I want to call it The Best Deal Ever. Because I really do think it's like the pearl and the treasure in the field.
It is.
Like, that's the kingdom.
All right. We got a question from the peanut gallery. Our producer, Jim Mitchell, our audio engineer, Bruce Goff, they're sitting in there. And, you know, I have a feeling that they want to ask you a question about something.
Just dying to ask a question. This happens every time you come, Brent. You get this room in here all worked up. You say provocative things.
Okay.
So we mean it as a compliment. Just a follow up on the earlier part of the conversation where you were talking about the way of Jesus being easier. I want to just make sure I'm understanding, because I've not found following Jesus to necessarily be easy. And I know there's a lot of listeners that wouldn't characterize their walk with Jesus as easy.
Yeah. So both ways can be hard. Both guys had to build the house, but in life, it's actually going to turn out to be an easier, lighter way. Even if there are difficulties, it's easier than the alternatives.
Because the storm is coming to both houses.
Absolutely.
The rain falls on the just and the unjust.
And destruction is coming.
Yeah.
So again, there's a cost of discipleship. But even if you read The Cost of Discipleship by Bonhoeffer, he allows that this is an easier way to live. The cost of non-discipleship is higher. So I guess that's how I would put it. There's a cost, but I actually think when Jesus is saying that his yoke is lighter and easier, that he actually means that. And like, you can step into the kingdom now, and it's a rich and satisfying life that's lighter.
Yeah, thanks, Brad, for letting us interact with you around it. You got us thinking. It's very provocative in a good way.
I do like that. And it's also good for me to hear your thoughts on it.
Before we're done today, I just want to remind our listeners that our vision at Family Life is every home a godly home, and we need your help to get there. When you become a Family Life partner, your monthly support makes that vision actually possible.
And listen to this. If you join the Family Life Partner Program, you'll get access to exclusive updates and events and the chance to join our partners only online community. But more than that, you'll be teaming up with us to change the future of families.
You can learn more and become a partner at familylifetoday.com. Just click the donate button at the top. That's familylifetoday.com. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life. a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.